Well, greetings, Foothill College, to the President's Briefing. I always feel like I have so much information I want to offer to you. And so I'm going to try to run through it quickly. Please remember that it is recorded, hence my pressing record, and is posted on a website link. So I'm going to ask Veronica to give you the link. And so if I run through things quickly and you want to see the slide a little bit more closely, you can always go back to the recording and slow things down. But also, you know, as an mother of two going through the K-12 system and school starting up in the last 2 weeks for them, I always know that, you know, we want to kind of know what's going on and the need to just, especially with return to school, you know, to get the latest and greatest, et cetera, and handle communication. So I'm actually, for the first 2 weeks of the fall quarter, we'll have a daily briefing of 30 minutes just to check in if anyone has any questions, how are things going? I heard we had a test positive case, et cetera, et cetera. This allows for more communication. As we all know, communication is critical in crisis management. So with the first 2 weeks of return is September 20th, then the week after that, I'm going to do the President's Briefing twice, so 2 weeks daily. That said, also, I've been hearing requests. If TWE, could you bring back the games, the quiz and so forth like that to the briefing? So due to popular demand, I will be bringing that back to all our Monday briefings. So anticipate being quizzed to win some prizes. As you know, I'm on the Santa Clara County Advisory Council for the vaccination efforts. And I want to just show you, I just got off of a meeting with them. Our county is at 80%+ vaccination, full vaccination. And I'm just, the county is very proud. In fact, they believe to be the highest of small, big cities, rurals, et cetera, minimally, if not the top 20 in the country for vaccination rates. So a lot of great kudos to the county for their work. What they're also noticing is that you know, more recently, the vaccination rate has also increased. So, you know, folks, employers are mandating vaccination, just like Foothill De Anza Community College District, thanks to our board and our chancellor, also mandating. So more employers are requiring it. And also a lot of locales, you know, restaurants, venues, et cetera, are requiring vaccination, proof of vaccination. And so what we're seeing, the county is seeing, is an uptick now of vaccination. And so that's good news. And also probably another really good news that could affect this too in terms of increasing vaccination rate is today FDA has done its formal full approval of the Pfizer vaccine. So the county is anticipating another uptick in that. This is a breakdown of demographic data in terms of folks getting vaccination. It's a lot. So again, feel free to go back to the recording if you want to see the chart a little bit more closely. But what was interesting that really became a point of decision-making for us at our college, at our EOC meeting last week, was the 50 and over. 50 and over, a high vaccination rate, 86%, African-American, 70%, Asian-American, 93%, Latinx, 77%, white, 70%, multi-race, 90%. So for that reason, we felt very comfortable with some decision points with regards to community ed classes in senior living spaces, et cetera. So I'll explain that more as I talked about the EOC. This is really quickly again with the reports of outbreak. There, you know, a lot of people have been rumoring about whether things will level off roughly mid-September, et cetera. But I don't think anyone is out of an official capacity, at least at the county so far, is making any predictions. It is very clear getting vaccinated, even though vaccinated colleagues, folks can still get tested positive for COVID. It is still very clear that that rate is nowhere near the rate of unvaccinated. So 32% out of 32 out of 100,000 cases for unvaccinated versus vaccinated. So the efficacy and importance, even though, you know, you can still get positive, you can still pass on, be a carrier for the virus, it is still very much the clear risk, lowering of risk with regards to COVID, very clearly from this data. And likewise for other scenarios too, okay? All right, this is just some quick data around, it is very clear that what we're fighting against now is the Delta variant. That is showing up much more than what was COVID a year ago this time. Folks have been asking about, or at least folks may be hearing about the third dose. They're not calling it a booster because a booster suggests that it's a different type of vaccination. It's really a third dose. It's the kind of the same vaccination, but a third dose. So folks are trying to do some language change. So just so that people don't think a booster is maybe dealing with new variants or what have you. So more to come on that, lots there that I, and in terms of the people who are able to be able to get the booster, the third dose before, you know, at this point, there are certain categories of folks who can do so. And then the potential of September 20th to make it available to the general public, et cetera. So more to come on that, but I thought I'd let you know. And then this is just a quick summary of what the county guidelines rules are with regards to indoor wearing masks. Our chancellor, as you know, has quickly responded on that and sent us a memo over a weekend about that. And we've been following that order. And then of course, there are all these other requirements, the large events indoor, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, all right. As you know, we have our own rules with our chancellor and her memo, and you probably saw her memo last week regarding vaccination, regarding utilizing an app that actually our colleagues at De Anza College has been using called Pyramid, a very clever play on the word pyramid. And the goal is our collectively, I along with Dr. Lloyd Holmes and our chancellor have leaned in and made a decision to be consistent. We were planning to be consistent, but you know, we were looking at my portal as a potential of that consistency for both colleges for student of uploading their vaccination verification. But unfortunately, unfortunately, that is taking longer. But fortunately, De Anza College has a system with their medical, I don't know if you know, but De Anza College has in-house medical services, their own health center. And so they've been using this app called Pyramid. And it sounds very like the solution we would need at Foothill College too. So our Foothill colleagues are meeting with De Anza's health services folks this week to see what can be done to have Foothill also use Pyramid for vaccination validation. Now it's gonna be a little bit tough because obviously we're a month away from the start of school. We don't know if it's gonna match well because you know our contracted vendor who provides health services also has their own medical record system. So being able to make all of that gel is gonna be critical. And it may take a while to launch and effectively make sure every student who comes on campus to have uploaded their Pyramid. So there's not only understanding the app, buying the app, license, implementing it, staffing it up, but also making sure that students are fully compliant. So there may be a little bit of an on-ramp situation that we would need at Foothill College to be able to do so. That said, the team, the medical unit team, along with our safety officer as part of our EOC structure, is already putting in place an interim measure using the smart sheet. So more to come on that, but I just want to let you know that's what's happening on the student end, and obviously on the employee end, that will be handled district-wide in terms of using Pyramid as the app for employees. And remember, the board is anticipating to make a tweak so that all students must by September 20th and then all employees by September 15th to validate vaccination. The chancellor also in her memo talked about advancing the September 20th for our athletic students. I think quite frankly, it's because we're seeing with the COVID test positives coming from our athletic teams that we need to take some measures. And also with athletic, they are early coming, you know, started school because we're a quarter system and a lot of the other colleges have already started. And so games are gonna be starting pretty soon, et cetera. And so this whole notion of advancing to get our athletic teams ready for the season, that even starts before the school year. So the first game is actually September 11th, well before the school year starts. So hence the chancellor's memo on it. There's a lot of activity, as you can imagine, with advancing that requirement. I will be meeting with the student athletes this evening to answer any questions they may have and really just imploring on the need for them to get vaccinated and the like. Okay. All right. This is just a schedule that I had shown you in the past. So ELC has made some critical decision points last week around our community ed classes. We are requiring for sites that are off site that have mandated vaccination, no problem. We do have about four that do not have that mandated vaccination, but clear protocols and the like, and they are all sites with, you know, older adults, seniors, and so their vaccination rate is very high. We did give a yes to them to provide the classes, but we'll be monitoring the situation, and of course, that the faculty teaching those four areas are very clear about what's happening in those sites too. This is, we didn't unfortunately get it officially as an exception, similar to our apprenticeship, or dual enrollment classes, but it's of the similar vein. So I'll be speaking with the chancellor, I guess since she's here tomorrow at chancellor's cabinet regarding that that nuance exception. Whoa, the week of September 13th is going to have a lot of activities on campus. The new student car orientation where students are gonna be driving by with their car, picking up a lot of goodies. We anticipate about 500 students from 11 to 7 p.m. Pneumosia, the Mellon Humanities Scholars, all in person doing some type of orientation. There's a potential for STEM Day by our STEM division. And we just approved last week for a community event with our planetarium and requiring vaccination, of course, for community folks. And then of course, we're still anticipating a reopening day to be in person. And what was so amazing was last this weekend, I got to see the chancellor, Gay Krause, at her house celebrating 20 plus years. Please give a big shout out in the chat room for Gay Krause and her and the team over there, past and present, for 20 plus years. If there's ever a moment to know the importance of technology, transforming teaching and learning through technology, it is this pandemic, because I think our K-12s that have teachers that have been taught through this process has really benefited with this pandemic when they had to go virtual. And then yesterday, got to see Kurt and his wife, Helen, and Simon and his wife, Bryony, along with our student trustee, Rachel Homofor, and former student trustee, Genevieve Kalar. We were able to be there along with the dance table over there. I think you can see it with our chancellor celebrating, CSMA, honoring Peter Landsberger as dean of CSMA. So hats off to them. And we were all in person for that. That was wonderful. Let me ask Veronica to launch a poll, because I'm curious, because, you know, we're going out, we're out and about. I'm going to ask her to launch a poll. But there you go. Would you answer this? And you can answer all of them, all of the above, or some of them. Which of the following have you done this summer? Select all that apply. Have you eaten at a restaurant, indoor, outdoor? Have you gone to a party event? Clearly, I would check yes on that. Not indoor, but outdoor. And have you been on an airplane this summer? So I'd love to see how people responded to that. And then Lori is going to give us some data points regarding the student survey and what student services are doing with regards to that. So please continue to answer the poll while Lori comes on to go through this. And Lori, just tell me next and I'll click the poll of the slides for you, okay?
Okay. Lori. Yes, no problem. Hello, everybody. If you're wondering about my background, yes, it is the Brady Bunch background of the Student Services Leadership Team. We had an artist recreate all of us into the Brady Bunch theme to add a little fun. It's the little things that make us happy. All right, so really quickly, you have seen this survey before because Elaine presented it previously. So I just wanted to highlight a few slides that have given us some direction in student services. So as you know, we've been working on a plan for how we would return some face-to-face services. And this was helpful to us. So as you can see, we wanted to know how many students are actually coming back so that we could shift accordingly. If there were going to be a lot of students on campus, then we would have needed more staff face-to-face. But as you can see, it has indicates here that the question is, how will you be taking classes at Foothill this fall? And only 8% are in person, 8% mainly in person. So you could see the vast majority of students, 46% are online. So that has helped direct us in terms of how we would shift our services. The next slide, please. Laundry's done. That's what that noise is. So the next question is, okay, so if you were, you know, what is the likelihood that you would come to campus for in-person services, even if you are registered for online classes? And so you could see here, more than half of the students were somewhat unlikely or not likely to use in-person services. So that also has given us some critical information. Next slide. And then the question is, what are the activities that would be very important to you for in-person services this fall? And you could see that 74% said access to reliable internet. So there's a team I know working on making sure that the Wi-Fi is strong. They need a place to study and help with assignments. So a lot of instructional supports were the primary areas. And what we were looking for in student services was, what are the answers to those responses? Are they in the student service areas or the instructional areas? And the next slide is asking specifically of the student support services, which ones should we start offering in-person services? And you could see that this is ranked according to what students said. So it was first counseling, then admissions and records, library, bookstore, financial aid. And then you could see the other services at the bottom. So it starts to go to tutoring, psych services, and the DRC and BRC. So that has helped us. However, what we have determined, the plan, I'm giving you a sort of a draft plan now, we have a planning meeting this Wednesday to solidify the details. But our goal is to provide in-person services for the majority of student services Monday through Thursday from 8 to 3 and Friday from 8 to noon. We will have a skeletal staff. We have sent out a survey to all of the classified personnel to see who is available to come in person. So we're working through the schedule and the details. We might need to use some students to help us as well. So we will let everybody know the specifics. The one thing I will say is that because counseling is faculty, and as you know, faculty are returning on a volunteer basis, what we've set up is instead of face-to-face, because as you know, in counseling, it's sort of a precarious situation because the offices are quite small. And so to be able to have in-person services is not as safe yet. So what we've determined to do is to set up a series of virtual offices. So we will have classified staff available to direct students into virtual spaces. So they will get to interact with the student in a virtual room. So we're going to convert some counselor offices. Students can go in there, still have the privacy that they need to have the conversations. And the counselor will be there. They'll be on a TV, on a monitor instead. So we're still going to provide, technically, the student can come in person if because they don't have access to internet or a quiet place at home to have a conversation with the counselor, they can go into a private room and interact with that counselor as well. We also are going to have some drop-in services for other areas. So has set up a Zoom room. So again, converting some of those counselor offices in that way. We are consolidating all of our services into the 8,000 building because we don't have the personnel and enough staff to clean and screen in all the various offices. We're going to be bringing all of our student services into the 8,000 building, with the exception of the health center. The health center will remain open and be in person, but that allows us to focus our energy and safety in one building itself. There will be signage across campus indicating that we could direct students to that building for all of their services. We're going to convert the admissions and records office into each having the windows at the front desk there. We're setting up plexiglass and having one personnel, student service personnel from each of the different areas at that front desk area. So that's kind of the general plan overall, and I will continue to come back to the briefings and give you more detail as we have it.
Oh, wonderful, Lori. That's so, thank you so much, and following the survey to really guide and lead you. So thank you for, and Natasha is giving you big hats off for your Brady Bunch, and apparently you're Alice, right?
Yes, I am Alice.
The one who's really running the household.
Yes.
And Aaron has been putting some great links in the chat room regarding online. If I can ask Rebecca to come on just to comment on what she's seeing. She's our contracted part-time faculty to help us with contract tracing. Has really been such a blessing to get her guidance. What you're seeing, some plateauing?
I'm hoping. So I was doing some data analysis with Alameda County, Santa Clara County, SAC, LA, and San Francisco. And I know San Francisco has been kind of on a little bit of a downward trend. Sacramento looks like it's plateauing. LA is showing signs, and Santa Clara County and Alameda County are showing signs. So there's still a little bit of increase, but there's a huge stabilization. So it was going from 20 to 40 to 100 to 200 and 250. So we started to see like a really large increase. That has since shifted. If you look at some of the most recent data, the line, even just without any mathematical skills, you can see that the line is starting to potentially stabilize. So I say that, knock on wood, everyone knock on wood around you, because a little bit superstitious with that. My hope is that we can potentially be at peak without knowing it and start to see a decline, but I have no indication of that, right? The pandemic can do what it'll do. Our biggest hope is that it does go down, because we know, unfortunately, that fall and winter are viral seasons, cold and flu. And of course, we project a spike with that. But let's just all keep our fingers crossed. I know that those breakthrough infections are really common amongst those that got vaccinated early. So if you can get that third vaccination when it's available, highly recommend it. And no, it's not 2.0 version. It's the same dose that you originally got if you do Pfizer or Moderna, just a heads up. So I hope that helps.
You know, and you said it right, the third dose, not a booster. And actually in the county meeting, they were saying that the health professionals, you know, the PCR testing is still the gold standard, but the all the health officials were saying that the antigen testing that you can buy, even this one I got at CVS, or actually I had to go to CVS, Walgreens, and Rite Aid to finally get one. And it was when my kids were sick. We were just so nervous. And so we got this, and they obviously tested not negative. They said that this is actually really, really good. It's almost like close to the PCR in terms of result reliability. So something new to think about in terms of testing. And let me show the results. And then I'm going to bring in for our reflections and return, Elias Rigolato. And let me share the results that folks have said. Very interesting. So outdoor, it seems like there's a lot of comfort with outdoor dining, outdoor events, and the like. But one person that has gotten on the plane over this since the summer is Elias Rigolato. So Elias, can you come on?
That's right, Twi. I have all of those activities all nailed down this summer, including getting on an airplane to go to Houston, Texas for a wedding, a family wedding. That was back in June. Things have changed drastically since then. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, the FAA maintained the masking requirements on airplanes and the transportation hubs, and which in fact, it was supposed to expire, I think, September 14th, and now it's been extended to January. So when I did go to Houston, we were in an airplane that everybody was wearing masks, and it, you know, that did help. I was fully vaccinated, and so those things in combination really kind of gave us some confidence, you know, to fly.
Elias, you were in Texas. So what was the situation in Texas? Were people not masking? I mean, you know, we hear the rumors about Texas and Florida. In fact, my father, we have a family wedding in October. My father has said, we will not invite relatives to the wedding because many of them are from Louisiana and Texas. So,
what's interesting about that is we were actually only around California people because the young people that got young couple that got married, they had just recently just moved there from California. Mm-hmm. They got a job transfer, and so they had just gotten there. And then all of the people that were invited were from California. So all the people I was around with were California people, and everybody was wearing their mask and stuff like that. But generally going around the Houston area, yeah, you do see a stark difference. You don't see very many masks here around here. You know, if you go eat somewhere, generally everybody that works there will be wearing a mask. You might see some difference with people arriving, but there's not all employees wear masks. Some do. And so it was very consistent and definitely less than what I experienced here.
Wow. Yeah. Elias, the last 18 months, how's it been for you?
You know, Tweez, it's been very jarring in terms of changes and impact on my life. I moved back to Sacramento temporarily during the shelter in place. And I wasn't the only one that moved back. My daughter moved back. She's been working in the Bay Area at Peralta Community College District. And so she moved back home as well. The one that was at home already was my son. So he's the one that probably experienced the most hardship by having us move back, my daughter move back, and now there's all kinds of people in the house. And so we worked through that. We even got my daughter wanted to get a puppy to help her with the transition. She's very social. And so we even got a puppy. So that was a major change, kind of the whole family living together. That was a major change. I also had an opportunity to start exercising again. You know, I have a hand cycle that I ride that it wasn't really possible for me to keep in the apartment that I have in Mountain View. So exercising, I've been able to do that. I have a couple of pictures that I can share.
Is Wookie in one of those pictures?
Wookie's in one of those pictures.
Okay, all right, you got to show them.
It's just a few pictures. So let's see. I don't see it showing my desktop.
Oh, to get press share screen.
Oh, I think I got it. Here we go. So. This is me going to the mailbox at lunch. That's my time to go get a little bit of air. Uh-huh. And so I walk Wookie, our little dog, walk her to the mailbox and I walk her back. So that's like a daily de-stress activity. So everybody, you can see the picture then.
Yeah, we're seeing, we can see it, but it's a little screen. It's not on the big screen.
Oh, not sure why.
We can still see it. So you can still move forward.
This is from the wedding.
Oh.
And yeah, we were having a great time. Well, except this little girl here on the bottom right. She was upset because we didn't want to use all the special effects. She wanted to put funny faces on us, like big mustaches and hats on all of us. And we're like, no. So she was not happy about that. And this is me and my wife here at the wedding.
Uh-huh.
And this is me riding my bike. Oh. So protecting myself from the sun and all that. But that's some of the things I've been doing this summer, Tui. So,
Elias, what's your feeling about return?
I'll be there. I'll be back this fall. I think one of the personal things I have is, you know, the proximity issue. But I'm going to go back. Me and Brett are going to work out a schedule where we have full coverage of the finance division. And so, but I'm excited to go back. I'm excited to be with everybody and to see everybody again in person. You know, one thing that's interesting, Twee, and I don't know how many people can identify with this, you know, and I haven't really heard it mentioned, but one thing about, as a disabled individual, I use a wheelchair. Working online, working on Zoom, it's really the first time in my work aspect that I felt being in a level playing field. Where we were all limited the same way, we were all seen the same way. And so that was an interesting observation that I had one day, is that in that respect, it was refreshing for me in a work way, in a work environment perspective. And so I don't think I fully processed that. It's hard for me to fully elaborate on that, but I do want to convey that was there. That's there, you know. And so I can, and again, I'm processing that. How is it that I feel that way? But it's been there. It's been there.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much. You know, some of the things we've done, Twee's, well, I've been able to see my mom more often. This was all, again, it's gotten crazy with the Delta, but we went to the movies. Again, we traveled. And so it's been a different summer. It's been a different, work has been different. So overall, I am excited to go back to be with everybody again. And I'm like other people, other guests that you've had for this segment. I'm also very appreciative. We know not everybody experienced the pandemic the same way. Mm-hmm. I know we're definitely part of the fortunate group that experienced it the way we did. And I'll always keep that in mind for our students. I'll always keep in mind that different experiences in terms of COVID will impact the need, possible need and desire for people wanting to change their work to be one of the fortunate ones that maybe aren't in the service industry that suffered. I have people in my family that suffered financially because of the pandemic, and they're making different decisions that impact their educational choices and careers that they want to pursue. So it's definitely impacted my perspective on our work here at Twitter.
Elias, thank you so much for your beautiful heart, your head, your beautiful mind, just in so many ways, for being such an amazing colleague. And thank you for sharing your thoughts, your reflections and on return too.
Thank you, Twee.
Next week, we actually will be having Jen from International come. So get some a little perspective in terms of just how things are going at that level too. And, you know, Elias, you oversee our finances, but I also appreciate you talking about the financial strains of our students. And that was pulled the highest in terms of what are students' number one concern right now about their ability to be successful for fall quarter. And that is financial reliability, their finances. Yes. So we're going to be digging in a little bit further about that. But that's for students who are already enrolled. Imagine students who are not enrolled. You can imagine that probably is also the reason why they're not enrolling. So I'm going to dedicate this song to you since you're a fan of Natalia Lafourcade. How do I pronounce the name?
Natalia Lafourcade.
Yeah. So yeah. In dedication to you. Thank you, Elias. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Have a wonderful week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. It was great sharing with you. Siempre quiero más de ti. Yo quisiera hacerte más feliz.
Elias, thank you. I love you dearly.
Love you too, Twee. Mi
corazón es para. You know, I listen to this over and over and over.
She's amazing. I recommend everybody look for her music.
I love the picture of me walking through. Looking. All right, bye, everyone. Bye-bye.